are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Train. I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places. You can find all my work, links to my work, on my Twitter account at Patricia_Trainer. There's also a link in my bio to a page where you can find all the stuff that I have put out recently. And I'm joined today by Chris Bisiano on what I think is going to be our last show as far as, you know, this review we've been doing. Chris, it's been a fun and very, I think, you know, productive 2 weeks with breaking down these different positions.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, Pat. And yeah, you listen, we'll finish up with cornerback, and I hope everybody, you know, got a good night. I hope everybody realizes how much work we need in this offseason with us breaking it down here the last few weeks.
For sure. It's, you know, I think the problems on this team are pretty much, you know, they're right there in front of you, folks, and, you know, everybody needs to play better. We're not saying, you know, for those of you who think, oh, there she goes, she's going to defend Eli again. Yes, Eli needs to play better, but you know what?
Folks, cut that out. Whoever says it about Patty, she's not an Eli defender all the time. She just says it like it is. Cut the crap.
I know. I mean, look, everybody's going to have their opinion, but, you know, I'm going to just do me, and if people realize where I'm coming from, great. If they don't, then there's not much I can do about it, I guess. But anyway, so Chris, let's talk about the cornerback position. You know, the Giants, of course, they made the trade midseason. They got rid of Eli Apple. But let's actually start with Janoris Jenkins first, because he is their number one cornerback. What were your thoughts about the season Janoris Jenkins had?
I thought he started off really slow, didn't play well. Janoris did say that, you know, the ankle was bothering him. He just didn't like to talk about it. Thought he had a good stretch of games, Pat, like 3 or 4 games, that he looked like the 2016 Jenkins. And then I thought he tailed off a little bit at the end. So overall, I thought it was a pretty decent year. He did give up 66.3% of completions, the completion rate on him. He played well at times, didn't play well on other times, but I thought he played good enough, Pat, where we bring him back. I know it's a big cap number, but I don't want to see him go anywhere. I think he's, you know, still a pretty good corner for us.
Yeah, I didn't like the fact that he tailed off there at the end, because there were times when it looked like maybe he was disinterested, especially after their playoff hopes were dashed. But I think you're right. I think, you know, he still can play at a high enough level. You know, and look, I give him a world of kudos there, because coming into this season, if you remember, he had that off-field incident involving his brother and you know, the unfortunate death of the friend. And that could not have been easy, folks. I mean, you know, look, that had to rattle the guy. So to be able to put that aside and to you know, to focus on doing the job, getting the job done right. And like you said, Chris, I think you were right when you said that maybe that ankle that ended his season prematurely the year before was still bothering him.
Yep.
So just a whole bunch of stuff weighing on Janoris Jenkins. But hey, listen, you know, the guy towed the line. There was no disciplinary issues like there was the year before. Mm-hmm. And he finished up, let me see, I think he finished up, want to get his NFL rating.
52nd, Pat.
Yeah, 52nd.
68.0, yeah.
Yeah, so also I think he had, he wasn't the highest penalized cornerback on the Giants. But anyway, you know, here's something I found kind of interesting about Janoris Jenkins and how he was used. I'm looking at the total pressures of the cornerbacks, and I'm not sure I remember seeing Jenkins blitz all that much. I think they did that more last year. Now, again, it was a different system, a different defensive coordinator. But I was kind of surprised, and I wonder, again, how much the ankle injury affected, you know, what James Betcher was doing with those guys.
I don't know if the ankle pad or just what Betcher's schemes were. You know, listen, Pat, we talked about this. You know, Betcher showed a lot of stuff in training camp that he didn't do much in the regular season. I remember Jenkins coming off that corner in practices in camp, and I don't think he did it three times, if that, all season.
Yeah.
Did he have any pressures, Pat? Do you have the numbers?
He didn't have any.
Right.
Just kind of
right.
Surprising.
That's what I thought. I didn't want to sit out without knowing for sure, but yeah, he didn't have any pressures. So he was a cover guy. He played a lot of man. You know, they did some zone stuff, and he gave up 7 touchdowns, Pat. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not a good number. You don't want that out of your best corner either. So, you know, like we talked about, he was pretty good. You know, somebody that I think should come back. Was his head in it the last few games? I don't know. He looked like he might have been thinking about the offseason at times. But it's a $14 million cap hit next year. Does he come back, Pat? You tell me. I think he does.
I think he does, too. I think, look, you know, it's a delicate balancing act for Gettleman, because you want to upgrade, but you don't want to necessarily create holes, and you know, that you don't need to. You know, it's like, you know, you have this wall, and it's like, you know, do you want to put a hole in a perfectly good wall when in fact it can, you know, wait until you have to really address it? That's kind of the scenario I think they have with Jenkins. And you know, they had him take a pay cut the year before. I don't think they will go to him again and ask him to take another pay cut. I don't think he would agree to it, even if they did. So I think you keep him and you get Sam Beal, who we'll talk about a little later on in the show. You get him up to speed to start alongside of Jenkins moving forward.
Yeah. Listen, Pat, you know, this Beal kid is going to have to work out for the Giants. They don't have a third-round pick because of him. They're really high on him, and he, you know, we better hope he's not a bust, Pat. We better hope this kid can play. You know,
yeah.
I mean, all signs point that he could. I mean, I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying that they better hope he could play, because right now, Pat, you know, he's the other corner opposite of Jackrabbit.
Yeah.
That's, you know, Beal's healthy. He's ready to go. I talked to Sam about 3 weeks ago, and he said he's ready to roll for the OTAs, you know. So, you know, get him. You know, he put a lot out there, man. He gave up a 3 for him, you know. So, and right now he's slotted, you know, to be the opposite corner of Jackrabbit, you know. And then obviously, you know, maybe BW's in the mix and all that as a third, fourth corner, whatever it might be. So, yeah, big thing. Listen, I'd like to see this kid Beal, you know, be opposite of Jackrabbit. You know, this will be Janoris' fourth year next year with the Giants. He obviously, his best year was the first one. He was a Pro Bowl and all that. So look for him to have another pretty decent year. He wasn't a problem, like you said, at all, Pat. You know, he worked hard. Sherman likes him.
Yeah,
Sherman likes Janoris. You know, he thinks he works hard. He's a gamer. You know, he's a tough. You know what I liked about Jackrabbit's game this year? Very physical in the run game, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Very physical coming up off that corner, making tackles. You know, some corners in this league, they just want to cover guys. They're not too interested in, you know, coming up and putting their head in there to make a tackle. Janoris, I thought, played that pretty good this year. So
yeah, he did. That's an excellent point. And that's part of defense. Sometimes you're gonna be asked to come up and play against the run, and Janoris had no hesitation coming in there and laying a shoulder and putting a hit on a guy and in coverage. Were there times when maybe he was a little too grabby? Mm-hmm. Yes. Were there some calls against him that maybe shouldn't have been called? Yes.
Yep.
But, you know, I can't sit here, Chris, and say that I had a big problem with his game. I mean, the only thing, like I said, that was a little bit of a red flag for me was at the end there when it tailed off. That, once they, you know, were out of the playoffs, that was the only really big thing that kind of bothered me.
Yeah, understandable, Pat. Understandable. But we'll see. I think he'll be all right. I think he's fine. You know, Shermer really admires his toughness, you know,
yeah.
And they like him. They like him in the building. There's no question about it. Now, whether or not they think he's a $14 million a year player, that's up to them. I mean, like you – listen, Pat, we've talked about this before. You can't replace everybody. Of course, that guy's making $11 million or $13 million next year. You know, you can't just say, okay, that's – you know, we need some more cap relief. Get rid of him. No, you can't. You know, he's a serviceable corner,
yeah.
You know. And you know, so – He'll be back, I'm pretty sure. I don't think he's going anywhere, but I could be wrong, but I don't think he's going anywhere. And we just have to hope, Pat, that this kid Beal pans out, that he's a player.
Yes.
Because if he's not, not only do we not have a number three pick in this year's draft, now we have a huge hole on the other side, you know?
Yeah, so. Exactly. Chris, let's take a break. We'll talk more about Beal and the rest of the cornerbacks when we come back. So folks, do stay with us. Welcome back to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traina and Giant Insider, senior writer Chris Biziano, who has been my guest the last couple of weeks, helping me break down the Giants position by position. And we've been having a good time considering, you know, the season ended on a 5-11 note. Not a good time when we were covering it, but, you know, just going back and refreshing the memory and, you know, looking ahead to what might be. It's been a fun exercise, I think. And, you know, we're wrapping it up with the cornerbacks. And, Chris, you know, we talked about Janoris Jenkins, and you brought up Sam Beal in the last segment. You know, unfortunately, he was taken in the supplemental draft in the third round. The shoulder injury popped up, and he landed on IR basically just almost as soon as he got here.
Yeah, it seemed
But here's the thing that I like, and, you know, I don't know if this varies according to head coach, but sometimes when guys go on injured reserve, they disappear. They go home to rehab. They're not part of the team. They're not around the facility. And Beal has been around the facility. Now, obviously, he's not allowed to practice, but he's allowed, you know, to come to the locker room to get his treatment, where he sees his teammates, he sees his coaches. So the fact that the kid, you know, had some face time with the organization, I think that's got to bode well for him.
Yeah, yeah, we saw him all the time, right, Pat? He was always around, taking everything in. So he seems like, talked to him a few times, seems like a real good kid who really wants to be here and is really willing to work and can't wait for the 2019 offseason program to get going, right?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, you only learn, I understand it, you only learn so much, you know, being on the sideline. You have to be out there. But I like his attitude, Pat. I like his attitude. You know, he was always engaged, you know, learning from these guys, always watching. From what I understand, he was always in a film room. You know, he's with the meetings with the backfield, defensive backfield, and all that. So I'm looking, Pat. I'm looking forward to see what the kid has. You know, I don't know much about him, Pat. You know, so let's see. We'll start seeing me and you. We'll start seeing him in May at the OTAs. You know, we'll start seeing what this kid is. You know,
yeah.
So, you know, I can't tell you, your audience, hey, listen, this kid's going to be a lockdown corner. No, you can't say that. We just don't know yet, you know?
Yeah.
But they gave up a three for him, Pat. This better work out. That's all I'm going to say.
They, especially after trading Eli Apple, who, you know, was up and down. Eli, you know, were you surprised that they moved on from Eli Apple?
Not totally. Not totally. He was playing. I thought Eli started off the year pretty good, and then he faded. You know, then I thought he wasn't playing well. Listen, Pat, it was more to the, just his play. You know, he wasn't the best locker room guy. All right. Yes, he got in line a little bit this year, but he was problems in the past in the locker room. He was a little. Listen, you know, Pat, you're around him in the locker room. He's a little different, Eli. Apple, I mean, you know, Eli Apple was a little different of a personality. I think he was one of those guys that get him and wanted to clean out. And we got a, you know, draft pick for, what was it, two picks we got for him, Pat, or one
two.
Pick?
Yeah.
Two, right.
Yep.
So Gettleman kind of, you know, a lot of people would perceive as stole two picks for him, you know. So, no, it didn't take me by total surprise. No, it didn't.
Yeah. I mean, that was an instance of, you know, creating a hole, like I said, that, you know, at the time, you said, oh, my God, what are they going to do? And when they did trade him, they moved B.W. Webb into that spot.
Yeah.
And, you know, B.W. Webb, it was interesting. I got to be honest with you. Initially, I wasn't so sure he was even going to make the roster.
Yeah, I didn't think he would.
And you know what? He didn't do that bad.
Pat, you know, I thought he played very serviceable. I thought he faded at the end of the year, Pat.
Yeah.
I did think he faded. He had some questionable. He had some big penalties. A couple I did not agree with.
Yes.
A couple I did. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But you know what, Pat? You look at him, he was targeted 66 times, 39 completions for 59.1%. Not the worst thing, right? Had some penalties. Don't get me wrong. Had some key. Listen, they called it, so we got to go with it. Okay, all right. Whether or not I agree with it, you agree with it, whatever. But he had some key penalties. Mm-hmm. But I thought he held his own. I thought he played pretty decent for a guy that's bounced around this league, and for a guy I thought was not going to make this team back in August. Pat played the slot 266 times. Then they moved him out wide. When Eli Apple was traded, he played over 600 snaps on the other corner. So I thought he did all right, Pat. I really did. I expect him to compete next season and make this team again.
I was just going to ask you, if it comes down to, all right, if let's say the top two corners are Jenkins and Beal.
Right.
And now it comes down to Webb, Haley, and a draft pick. I mean, do you see that as being your option? And who do you put as your slot corner? Do you put Webb ahead of Haley?
Webb and Haley are going to have to battle it out, Pat.
Okay.
Webb and Haley are going to battle. I like a lot of things Haley did, but, the bottom line is this, Pat. Haley, I liked some stuff Haley did, right? Mm-hmm. You agree? You liked him a little bit too?
Yeah.
Okay, but, 75% completion rate on him. Not the best, Pat. Not the best. But he's physical. Listen, he's a small kid, Grant. Real great kid, by the way, everybody. Great kid.
Yes.
Small
yes.
kid. But you know what? He's a physical kid, man. He plays, pretty big. He sticks his head in. He makes tackles, So to me, let them settle it on the field. If Webb's back, I think he will be. Let Haley and him settle it. There's going to be more competition coming in. Okay, no question about it. Might be a corner. Hey, listen, Pat. I said it to you before the previous podcast that it would not shock me if they went corner with the sixth pick overall. Not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying don't expect. Don't be surprised if other corners are in here. For training camp next year.
I don't know that they go.
I know you don't agree with me. It's all right.
I gotta disagree with you, man. I love you. And I'm not.
Pat, I'm not saying they're gonna go corner. I'm just saying it wouldn't knock me over my chair. That's all I'm saying.
I hear you. I hear you. And I'll tell you something. Last year at the combine, I was talking with somebody, and we were talking about the Giants and what they might do in the draft. Mm-hmm. And I had somebody tell me, Gettleman loves cornerbacks. Don't be surprised if he takes two or three in this draft. And how many did he take in this draft? In the main draft last year? None.
Zilch.
He waited to the supplemental draft to take a cornerback.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, maybe Gettleman has changed, But here's the thing you got to remember with him. Gettleman doesn't force picks. He doesn't just say, okay, I need to have this guy, that guy, that guy. He always operates on best player available. So now here's the thing that I know a lot confuses a lot of people, both fans and media. At some point, best available needs to marry up with
yes.
need. And that's where it becomes tricky.
With the needs of the team.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And that's where it becomes tricky because if you have, for example, sixth overall pick, you have a defensive end or an edge rusher who has a certain grade, and then you have a cornerback who has a grade identical. That's where I think need factors in a little bit more because look, we know that they need pass rush. They don't have enough pass rush. Corners, if they bring Jenkins back, if Beal pans out. If they re-sign Webb and they have Haley under contract, they probably don't need a corner as badly as they do pass rush. So that's kind of where it factors in in terms of determining, need versus best player available.
Right. I mean, if you say best player available and you have two guys graded the same, a defensive end or a strong safety, I'm saying Landon comes back. You're not going to go with the strong safety, right? You got to go with the edge guy.
Exactly.
The needs of the team. That's the key. And Pat, trust me, Pat, if they have two guys graded the same, an edge guy and a corner, they're going to go corner. Edge guy. No question about it. Trust me, Pat, I'm not saying here that, hey, Gettleman's going to go corner six. All I'm saying is that it wouldn't knock me off my chair if he did something like that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, there's always a curveball thrown in the draft anywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, every year that I've covered it, and I've been covering it for a number of years, they always do something that makes me sit up and go, what the heck? You know, I didn't see right. that coming. So, no, I, at this point, nothing would surprise me. I think the only thing that would surprise me, and I know I'm going to get hate tweets on this, is that they would take a quarterback at number 6 overall.
But, oh, my God, you're dead. You're dead now.
I know. I brought that up. Myself, but you know, I'm being honest, folks. I'm being honest.
That's all based you can do.
Based on what we know today, as we record this, and just so everybody knows, we're recording the show in advance, a few days in advance, before the draft class is set. Based on what we know, that's how I feel. Now, well, am I going to be wrong? Maybe. Would it be the first time I'd be wrong? No. Will I be wrong again? Absolutely. But, you know, I think, you know, to be fair, a lot of times I think I have a little better batting average than people give me credit for. You know, last year I kept saying Barkley, 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 and I had people say, no, you're crazy. They're going to take a quarterback.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I mean, you – Goodness, even Gettleman said he was drooling all over himself over Barkley, that he needed a bid from Joe Stone Crabshack, you know?
So, I mean, how
could you miss that signal? But anyway, Chris, let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. We'll talk about some potential free agent targets. We'll talk about, you know, some of these other guys that were on the roster. So, folks, stay with us. Welcome back to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traina and Chris Biziano of Giant Insider, my special guest. And we are wrapping up our position unit review with the cornerbacks. And actually, we'll try and sneak in a couple of quick thoughts on the special teams, just so we get show them a little bit of love. But Chris, you know, just looking ahead, the more I think about it, and having gone through this discussion with you, I can't help but wonder if maybe the Giants' cornerback depth is a little better off than what I initially thought. Because, again, you bring back Janoris, you've got Beal, and hope that he's okay and ready to go. You've got Haley, who they seem to like. And maybe if you bring back B.W. Webb, that's four guys right there. So really all you need is a fifth guy, and that's somebody who you can maybe draft on day 3 of the draft, or maybe even look to see if you get an undrafted free agent who can step up.
Yeah, or late cut, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of all, September 1st, or whatever the date's going to be this year, late cuts from a team. Mm-hmm. No question about it. Listen, Pat, to me, we just discussed it, you know, it depends on this Beal kid, man. You know, if this kid's a player and he could play, he could start out there, then it's looking much, much better, right? Much better.
Oh, yeah.
If this kid gets hurt or, you know, he's just, you know, he can't handle this NFL game yet or whatever it might be, you know, he can't, then they're going to be in trouble. They're going to, listen, Pat, Gettleman's going to bring in a bunch. He's going to bring in some guys again. They're going to compete. Like he did with B.W. Webb. I mean, he brought him in his competition, basically, and here he is playing all these snaps, right?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are down on him, this and that, but he didn't play as bad as people thought. You know, he wasn't that bad. Do I want him as a starter opposite of Jenkins? No, of course not. You know, but a guy, a third, fourth guy, like you said, fifth guy, whatever it might be, I wouldn't have a problem with him. I really wouldn't. I'm sorry. This whole ball of wax, Pat, is we just have to hope that this Beal kid can play.
Yeah, I agree. That is the key.
It's the key, man. It's the
yes.
key.
Yes, and we. I'll tell you what, Chris. Obviously, we won't get to see them until May when they start the OTAs.
Yeah.
But if Gettleman takes a corner high, or if he takes, you know, if he signs a guy,
right,
that's going to be a big clue as to where Beal stands. And again, we're optimistic that he's going to be okay. I know I've seen him in the locker room. I've spoken with him. He seems very optimistic that he's going to be ready to rock and roll. He's been studying his butt off. You know, like you said, he's been doing film work and everything. But, you know, sometimes you can kind of get a sense of how teams might be drafting by the contracts that they offer to free agents. It's very telling.
Yep.
How, you know, if you really break it down and study it, it's very telling, and you can almost anticipate, you can almost anticipate the needs of a team. So I'm curious to see what he does, but yeah, Beal is without question the key.
Yeah, listen, you know, if this kid could play, if he's a good cover corner, you got him and Jackrabbit, it's a different ball game now for Betcher, right? Different yeah. ball game. When you got two guys that could cover on the outside, it's a different thing. And now you bring in a free safety, hopefully that could hold his own and all that. And it's a different ball game for Coach Betcher, you know? Yeah. All different schemes and everything like that, the way he attacks teams and all that stuff. So we'll see, Patty. Only time will tell with the kid Beal.
Absolutely. Chris, you know what? Let's throw some love over at the special teams, you know, because I kind of feel bad. We broke out the show so that it would be cover 5 days, and you know, next week I've got to start with the college all-star games and everything like that. But I do want to talk real quick about special teams if we could. How about the transformation of Aldrick Rosas from going from basically a guy who everybody was ready to throw out with yesterday's newspapers to a Pro Bowler?
What can you say, Pat? You know, I put it on Twitter, Pat, a little bit earlier, about a month ago. I said, just think, if McAdoo came back this season, if he was the head coach, Rosas might get cut. He might not even be on his team. You know, Sherman came in here, gave everybody a clean slate. He had a good camp, made the team, and boom, the guy's a Pro Bowler. The guy had a great – I know what's his name made the All-Pro, first-team All-Pro was Tucker from the Ravens, you know, who's real good. Don't get me wrong, but I thought Rosas was even better than him. I thought he should have been first-team All-Pro. But all right, whatever. That's the way it goes. Right. Okay, he was second-team All-Pro. But, Pat, if McAdoo was here this year, he might have even made the team because they were so down on him last year.
Yeah. That's scary.
Yeah, it's scary, right? He might have had like a good camp, but they might have said, well, you know what? We know what this kid did last year. Well, let's bring in a veteran. You know what I mean? But Sherman gave everybody a clean slate. He had a good camp, and the rest is history. Riley Dixon, they acquired him, you know, from Denver. I thought he started off the year really strong. I wasn't that crazy about him towards the end of the year, but still, all in all, Pat had a pretty good year punting-wise.
Now, you know, just one other note on Rosas. I know I've spoken with him numerous times. I know you have as well.
Yeah.
But did you happen to catch who he gave a lot of credit for his turnaround?
I don't remember. I'm sorry, Pat. No.
I'll give you a hint. Giant fans couldn't wait to see this guy put out with Rosas at the end of the year.
Man, what am I drawing a blank? I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry.
Tom Quinn.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pat. I'm thinking play. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. He gave I know Giant fans don't want to hear that, but yes, that is true. I'm sorry, Patty. I totally drew a blanket out. But yes, it was Tom Quinn. He did. He credited the old Giant villain. Yeah. So that's, you know what? Shout out to Tom Quinn. He did praise him for that, for his development. And it's good to see. Because the kid had a great year, Pat.
He really did. Now, the other position that didn't have such a good year was the retiring specialist, where it just seems to be a cursed position. It just seemed like every guy that took over that position ended up injured or just something funky would happen. I've never seen anything like that. Have you?
No. It just seems like this giant special teams are just like jinxed when it comes to kickoff returners and punt return. Even Odell, you know, the few times he had the opportunity, didn't look good doing it, right? You figure Odell would be good at anything, right?
Yeah.
And even he was unsure of himself, you know, back there at times. I thought Quadri Henderson was pretty decent, Pat, until he got hurt, you know. So I expect him to be the number one guy going into camp next year, unless they bring somebody else over, you know. But we'll see. Hopefully this kid pans out. You know, Coleman did some good things at first returning kickoffs, and then he was like, all right, you know. Could we ever? I mean, when was the last time we had a good punt returner, Pat? Dave Meggett? I mean, holy God!
No, who did we have a few years ago?
No, I'm only exaggerating. I know we had.
I know what you're getting at, but I mean, how much of it though? You got to ask yourself how much of it was the guy back there versus what the blockers in front of him. I mean,
now you're going to get on Quinn. You just praised him.
No, well, Quinn didn't design, you know, that was McGahee's show.
No, I think you were talking about years past about why we could never get a good punt return and stuff. Yeah, no, it's McGahee's schemes. I'm only kidding around. Yeah. I, Pat, I guess it's a combination of, you know, of everything.
Yeah.
But we'll see what Quadri brings us next year. He showed flashes, right, Pat? He showed flashes.
Yeah, he showed flashes, and hopefully, you know, and that's going to be interesting because obviously, you know, how many receivers do they end up keeping, and are they going to solely devote that one receiver to, you know, to special teams, or are they going to get him involved into the mix? And that remains to be seen. So
yeah, hey, the kid had a great collegiate career.
Yeah, he did.
You know, I think it was Pittsburgh, right? University of Pitt. He had a great I think he had like 7 returns for touchdowns in his collegiate career. So it's there, Pat. You know, I'm not saying he could do that in the NFL easily. I'm just saying that it's there, you know. So we'll see what this kid does next year.
And I'm not going to lie. I actually was jumping for joy when they signed him.
Right.
You know, because I thought I had remember studying him last year in the draft, and I was like, yes, they finally got themselves a returner.
Right.
You know, and there were no, you know, let's face it, there were no, you know, adventures with him returning punts.
No, not at all. So, not at all. He definitely showed some flash. No question about it.
Yeah, definitely. So, Christopher, as we wrap up our review. Yes.
Are we done?
I was going to say, do you have any other thoughts about anything?
It just seems like we could ramble on forever, me and you.
I know. But you know what? It was fun, Pat. It was fun and some good stuff. You brought some good material to the table, which I appreciate. And, you know, this isn't the end. You know, obviously we'll have you on again down the line at some point. I just got to figure out where. But like I said, I'm going to be turning my attention now to the draft stuff and the All-Star game. So, you know, but tell everybody once again where they can find all your fantastic work. I know I've been mentioning it all along, but let them hear it from you in case they don't believe me.
Okay. You can find me and Jerry Foley, the senior editor, on Twitter, at Giant Insider. You can listen to our podcast. Me and Jerry, we go back and forth talking Giant football Monday and Thursday nights, the Giant Insider podcast. And you can subscribe to our paper, man, and you can read our stuff at You could go to giantinsider.com or just go to the Twitter. It'll link you right in to a subscription to our newspaper. And, Patty, it was a blast, Pat. It was a blast. Thank you for having me on.
It definitely was. And I thank you for being so flexible and just coming and making it very enjoyable. Because, you know, just to do this by myself, yeah, I could have done it by myself. But after a while, I think people would have gotten sick of listening to just me.
So. I don't know. So I'm glad. Good. I'm glad it worked out.
All right, folks, on that note, we will wrap it up. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Make sure you tune in next week. I'm going to have Tony Pauline is going to be on the program. I'm going to try and get another couple people who might be down at the East-West Shrine and the Senior Bowl. So I'm working on getting you some more guests so that we get some firsthand evaluations of the draft picks. And, you know, just keep it here. We'll continue to cover the Giants and bring you everything you need to know. So for Chris Biziano, this is Patricia Traina signing off.